Hello again and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master, a program that is heard each weekday here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer. I am your host every Thursday on Mornings for the Master, and I'm glad that you have joined me, and I hope you'll stick around with me for the next few minutes. We have been studying in our Thursday programs for some time now the book of John, and today we are going to conclude that study. We'll be looking at chapter 21. We'll be looking at verses 15 through the end of the chapter today as we complete this study. Now, Mornings for the Master is a program that has a different host each day of the week and a different course of study. I hope you avail yourselves to these programs. They are also replayed that same evening at 9 p.m. if you were not able to catch it in the morning. And they are also posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website within a day or two. And so you can go there and also pick up any programs you might have missed. Now, as I said, we are completing our study this morning, but I'd like us to begin by going back to chapter 18 and bring back to memory there some things that Peter would certainly like to forget. In chapter 18 now, beginning in verse 15, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest, and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door, and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, 'You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?' He said, 'I am not.' Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Now we can recall that Peter denied Jesus three times. Jesus was arrested, and Peter remained in the courtyard of the high priest, warming himself by the fire of coals. It was here that Peter had denied his Lord. In fact, three times Peter had denied his Lord. And so, as we move forward, Jesus, in verses 10 through 14, now back in chapter 21, reopens some very painful wounds for Peter. Chapter 21, beginning in verse 10. "Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.' Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, 'Come and eat breakfast.' Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." Jesus had now appeared three times to his disciples. So as we begin today, let's look at Jesus and Peter as the Lord restores this beloved disciple. Chapter 21, now beginning in verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. So, Jesus takes Peter aside after their breakfast. And notice that Jesus calls him by his given name, Simon. In fact, this was the first time that Jesus had called Peter by the name of Simon since chapter 1 in verse 42. There it said, and this was back when Andrew had brought Peter to Jesus, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. Jesus puts Peter to the test by asking him a question. Verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. Do you love me more than these? Now, probably, the majority of scholars are of the belief that Jesus is referring to the other disciples. However, I tend to think that he's referring to the fish, his livelihood, his way of life. Now, I don't guess too much difference either way, and I'm not dogmatic about it because the point really remains the same. Peter should have been out telling of the resurrection instead of returning back to his secular work. Jesus is asking Peter, which is more important to you? In other words, stop fishing and go preach the word. Jesus had discouraged rivalry among the apostles. If he had asked a question like this that would only feed their rivalries, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's not an argument over who loves Jesus the most. Just my opinion. Now, again, Peter had failed the Lord in a terrible way. He had denied his Lord three times. And so it is significant that Jesus now asks Peter three times if he loves him. Without a doubt, Peter understood the significance and the meaning of Jesus asking him three times. In fact, verse 17 tells us that Peter was grieved when Jesus asked him a third time. Oh, how it must have pulled the scab off of those wounds. The deep pain and grief that Peter must have felt. Jesus is in essence saying, Peter, if you love me, stop fishing or anything else and go feed my sheep. Now work or family or your hobbies, they're all okay, but what is first? And at this point, Peter makes a heartfelt confession. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Peter does not refer back to the past. He cannot point to the past because it is irrelevant. And besides, it would condemn him rather than vindicate him. But the past is not the point. Peter loved Jesus, and that was a fact. And that was all he could say. Do you love Jesus today? The past is the past. Today and tomorrow is what matters. Jesus has brought Peter's denial back to the forefront. But instead of condemning Peter, he restores Peter. I have the good fortune to be able to work and help with a men's rehab facility. And one of the things that we tell the gentlemen that come into the facility is, as far as relations with the church, with God, and we tell them that nobody cares what you did yesterday. None of us are concerned about that. None of us are worrying about that. Our concern is what you do today and what you do tomorrow. You can't change your past, but you can control today and you can control tomorrow. And Peter was at a moment of decision. He had to go through the pain of reliving his denial. But through this, Jesus, instead of condemning Peter, restores this beloved disciple. Jesus is saying, Peter, you failed me. Do you still love me? Then get up and go back to work. The amazing grace of God. Even if you have failed Jesus recently, do you love him? If you do, get up and go back to work. Like Peter, if you have failed the Lord, don't give up. It's not too late. Do you love him? Then go back to work. The amazing grace of Jesus. Wonderful grace of Jesus. We sing that song from time to time. Faith is the only access to His amazing grace. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12, Peter wrote, by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. My friends, this is how we find access to grace. We are commanded to stand firmly in His grace. And this means that our failures will not destroy us. Like Peter, after you fail, can you still hear Jesus ask if you love Him? For if you do, then you will keep going forward. Keep working, continuing to serve and obey Him and keep His commandments. This is the grace in which we stand. No matter how great our failure, even if it's at the level of Peter's failure, Jesus stands ready to forgive and ready to receive you back as one of His children. Jesus restored Peter, and He called on His disciples, His apostles, to remain on their mission of feeding Jesus' sheep. After denying the Lord three times, Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. Peter was grieved, but he confessed that the Lord knows him and knows his heart, that he loves him. And so as we come now to verses 18 and 19, Peter is told by Jesus of the road that lays ahead of him, the sacrifice it will involve, but how Peter would ultimately bring glory to God even through his death. We go to verse 18. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. So after Jesus had told Peter to feed his sheep, Jesus now tells him of his ultimate fate. Right now, Peter had the freedom to go where he chose to go, to dress himself. But Jesus tells him that in the future, that will not be your situation. He said that when he's old, he will stretch out his hands and somebody else would dress him. and they will carry him where he did not want to go. When Peter is older, someone is going to have power over him, even to take his life. Some scholars say that stretching out your hands was an idiom in the Roman Empire for crucifixion. Why did Jesus tell Peter this? It seems like this would be a depressing way to close out this letter. Why would he tell Peter that his life is not going to end peaceably with freedom and grandchildren on his knees? Instead, Jesus tells Peter that he is going to be executed. Why would Jesus say this? Look again at verse 19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Notice that Peter was not told what kind of death he was going to suffer. The words are not that he was told what kind of death he would experience. Rather, instead, told Peter that his death was to glorify God. This reminds us of something that we've seen in John's Gospel through it. Think back to chapter 9. Remember there we were introduced to a man that had been blind since birth. The disciples asked Jesus if this man sinned or his parents sinned to cause him to be born blind. And recall the answer that Jesus gave them in verse 3. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And if you were to jump forward to chapter 11, what about Lazarus? Lazarus was sick. The sickness was going to cause his death. But Jesus does not respond by going to Lazarus immediately. Rather, Jesus stays 2 days longer. And the reason he gave was it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Chapter 11, verse 4. You see, your life, the disease you might suffer, the injury you may suffer, even your death should all be to the praise of God's glory. God is to be glorified in everything that you and I do. God is not to be set aside for another priority. God is not to be set aside behind our work or family or anything else. Everything we do must be to God's glory. Peter was told this because he needed to be ready to glorify God in his death. We need to be glorifying God in our lives and ready to glorify God in our death. I have witnessed some disturbing statements from those that claim to be Christians when the time of death came. When a disease or sickness is about to take a life, there have been statements by those claiming to be Christians that challenge God in what He is doing. Every moment of life is about the glory of God. And we need to be ready to express a faith like Paul. Paul was not at the end of his life because of old age or because of something he had done wrong, but because of his love for Jesus, he was going to be executed. Consider 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. What an incredible statement that Paul makes here. How can Paul show such faith? How can he be so ready for the time of his death? Paul gives the answer that he has the crown of righteousness awaiting him, that the Lord would give to him on that day. What amazing faith! Paul dedicated his life to glorifying God, and he had full assurance that his reward was awaiting him to be given by the Lord. You see, your life, your suffering, even your death are to be for the glory of God. Think back to chapter 13. And in verse 36, Peter asked where Jesus was going because Jesus said he was going to be leaving them. And notice the answer that Jesus gave. He said, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." At that time, Peter was not ready to give his life for the glory of God. And in fact, as we have just recently seen, he would fail in the courtyard of the high priest by denying the Lord three times. But now Peter has been restored by the risen Lord. And Peter now, though he won't be perfect, we can read that he will have sin creep into his life again, but Peter will be ready to give his life for God's glory. So after Jesus had told Peter that this would be the way he would die, look at what Jesus says in verse 19. "Follow me." This is the only way we follow, by living a life that glorifies God, by not forsaking God, not avoiding God, not putting other things in place of God, making God everything in your life, and even in your death. Jesus asks if you're ready to accept this call, because he has said, "Follow me." And so now, Let's move forward now to verse 20. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" We easily relate to Peter in so many of the things that he said and did in his life. And this is certainly another moment where we can relate to Peter. After telling Peter that he is going to be martyred for Jesus, Peter asked Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man? If I'm going to suffer this way, what about the others?" Jesus told him, he said, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." You see, we may walk different paths. One of us may have great health, have a full and active life, and another one may have terrible health, may fight cancer for years, may have diseases or paralysis that cripple the body, various disabilities. You may not live a long life. You may live a long life. You may die before reaching adulthood. Your days may be cut short. But whatever the case is, here is the point. You have been called by Jesus to follow him. And how life goes or ends for me is not your concern. Your concern is to follow Jesus. God is in complete control and authority over this life. It is up to God and not up to us how this life plays out and even how it ends. We must surrender our lives to this very truth, that we have no control over what happens in our lives. We have no control over how we're going to die or when we're going to die. You may be suffering and others may not. But this is not important. What is important is that you use what you are experiencing to the glory of God. You know, you may simply lay down to sleep one night and not wake up the next morning. You may die a horrible death in a fire, literally burning to death. But that's not what's important. It's how you glorify God in that death. Jesus, his answer to Peter is simply, "Don't worry about John. What does it matter to you if John remains until I return? Peter, you follow me." In the same way, we must follow until Jesus comes and glorify God in everything that we do. And now we come to the final conclusion of John's Gospel. Verses 24 and 25. This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. The gospel concludes that Jesus did many more things that were not recorded in this gospel or any of the other gospel accounts. But what has been recorded in the four gospels are all that we need for faith. The faith to follow Jesus to the end of this life. Jesus told his disciples that they would have to take up their cross daily and follow him in Luke 9:23-24. The Lord's army is a volunteer army. You make the choice of whether you enlist in it. You must take up the cross. It's entirely your decision. You make the choice today if your life will be for God's glory. It is your choice if your pain and suffering will be used for God's glory. You make the choice if your death is going to glorify God. Are you willing to live and die in a way that makes God be glorified? Are you willing to show that Jesus Christ, not this world or yourself, is your treasure? Do you glorify Christ and serve with strength and all of your might that God has blessed you with? If you are a believer, if you have the faith that John has talked about throughout this gospel, if you were baptized, or maybe you grew up on the pews, maybe you know the scriptures, but you do not have this type of faith in Jesus that John has spoken of. Other people, perhaps things have become your priority. We find ways to justify that we must devote ourselves to our family or career or hobbies. What we are devoting ourselves to is not sinful. Family is certainly not sinful. The sin is that God is not the priority of your heart. He's not being glorified in all you're doing when you place that first. John penned this gospel so that you would truly believe. Recognize that perhaps your heart has been ensnared by things that are not necessarily immoral or sinful, but they have become sinful by taking your focus and your heart away from God. Today, if that is the case, you need to put God back at the center. Make every decision and action so that God is your glory and that he is glorified in all things. And when we do this, then we will have marriages and families and careers where God is glorified. This concludes our study of the book of John. Again, We have seen the love of God throughout this book. And John said these things were written so that we might believe. God has extended his love to man. We close with chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you willing and desiring to grab hold of it? I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope that you have benefited from our study of the book of John. I know that I learn something every time I go through it. And so next week, we'll begin a new study. I'm not going to tell you what. You'll just have to tune in as we begin a new study on our Thursday editions of Mornings for the Master. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. It'll be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or two. And we encourage you to stay tuned through the day for all of the programming here on the network. What better thing can you do with your time than to listen to God's Word and to beautiful gospel hymns? Be sure and join us tomorrow for Mornings for the Master when your host will be Preston McElyea. You won't want to miss that. And so until we meet again, if the Lord wills, next week at this same time, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.